Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Chris.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Ben.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
Danny.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young boys in the schoolyard.
Shoddy Radio.
Okay, so
thanks, Danny.
Today we're gonna be interviewing my mother. Unfortunately, Ben's not gonna be with us because my mother is a horrible racist, and you guys know that Ben is Asian, and she wouldn't have it. Basically, I'm kidding, of course. My mother's a wonderful woman. You look so miserable sitting here. I'm sorry. All right, so
I'm miserable too.
Mom, thank you for coming on our podcast.
My pleasure.
Dad was on the podcast, and
it was
a big hit. We had a lot. Yeah. So that's why I really wanted to get you on here too. But I also want to kind of interview you more about like your story, because I always get confused about your story because it's so long
and boring.
It's like 90 years long. But while we're on the subject, well, maybe I'll save all the awkward stuff for the end. Okay, so where did it all start, Mom?
In Minneapolis.
What year are we talking about?
1942.
1942, so that would make you...
AD.
AD.
No, AD. AD.
Okay, 1942.
My birthday's soon.
I know. Uh-huh. We'll have to celebrate that. We'll get the listeners to all send you congratulatory emails that you've survived another year. How many potentially fatal things have you beat in the past 5 years?
Well, not very much.
A lot. My mom's going down a list of things that would kill people and just marking them off. She's challenged, what's his name? The Grim Reaper? To a duel.
What a gruesome thought.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I remember hearing early on that you at some point fell down a hole when you were camping or fell down a hill or something.
How big of a ditch are we talking about?
10 feet.
Oh, man.
My God.
And you were alone. You were just on the side of the road. No one knew you were in this ditch, right?
Exactly.
So you knew you had to...
wall up.
How did you get back out?
Didn't you break your leg or break something?
No,
ribs, right?
I probably cracked my ribs.
Oh, well, you don't know if you cracked your ribs?
No, here's what happened. The doctor... Well, I'll let you tell it. I'm sorry. The doctor told her after I tell you, I'll let you tell it. I'll tell it. She went to the doctor and the doctor said, oh no, you'd know if you had cracked ribs. And then she went back later and they're like, we told you, you wouldn't be surviving. You would be in too much pain if you had cracked ribs. And then it turns out, what happened, Mom? Oh, you had cracked ribs.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was an x-ray finally.
Why argue with someone if they think they have cracked ribs?
Well, I didn't think I had cracked ribs.
Oh.
All right.
So no one thought you had cracked ribs?
But I did have a cracked rib.
All right. Okay, we're getting off subject. So it's 1942. You're born in Minneapolis. What did your dad do?
At that time, he was working for Schlamp Fur.
What's that?
That's a place that sells fur coats. It was a job that he got close to the house he grew up in.
Okay.
As a part-time job when he was going to school.
And go ahead, Chris. Yes, Chris. I'm sorry. Chris is just working on some.
What?
He's like smiling at me and mouthing these inappropriate jokes about. No, he has.
You need to stop interrupting the story.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but Chris is like, you should see his eyes.
Well, you kept
up.
Smiling you at me like you thought I was going to say
the
something.
The more Chris is. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Sophia.
So he worked for a fur company.
Yes, and he traveled on the road. And up in Minnesota, fur coats made some sense. It was cold enough that they actually provided warmth.
So he was a traveling salesman. He was a kind of cliche for his era, in a way.
Yes, exactly.
And then
this is back before they had Patagonia wear and all this high technology coats. Fur was probably one of the top.
A lot of people would just put raccoons on their head back then. I've seen pictures.
And it wasn't politically incorrect yet.
Right. Yeah, no, it was women wanted to be seen in fur, right?
Yes.
Because of Marilyn Monroe.
Well, she was towards the end of
she wasn't born yet.
Right. People had a premonition. So you went to school in Minnesota. Your mom was just a housewife?
No, she was a school psychologist.
That's what I meant. School, same thing. I assume. She was a woman, though. That you could see why I would get confused. So your mom was a school psychologist.
Was it rare in those days for a woman to be a school psychologist?
The other school psychologists that I knew were both women.
So yes.
So,
but
no.
Who knows? Maybe the men wouldn't accept a job in the schools. I don't know.
I just want to point out, your mom went to what college? Did your mom go?
She went to Stanford.
And what about your dad? You know where did he go?
He went to University of Minnesota.
Oh. And Danny, where did you go to school?
I just want to point out that the fact that I didn't ever graduate high school, to the people listening to this podcast, doesn't mean that I don't have at least some inherited intelligence. Is my mother is a Harvard University graduate. Well, she's graduated from colleges in every country of the world. She traveled the world trying to graduate and teach at colleges. That was her life goal.
I think the greater lesson is that genetics aren't everything.
So yeah, let's move over to college degrees. You or how many colleges you've attended in your life?
Oh, that I've attended. Yes. Oh, that's more
or
fun.
Taught at.
Okay. Well, I haven't taught at very many.
Okay. Didn't you? I mean, even just teaching English as a second language.
But I didn't teach them in college.
Oh, okay.
Usually.
I see.
So I taught. I mean, I went to Smith College.
Uh huh. Now I understand Smith is an Ivy League women's college?
Yes. Then in my junior year, I went to the University of Geneva.
Right. We
in
all
Geneva.
Know.
We know yes. The convention.
And then. Between college and graduate school, I went to the Sorbonne.
What's that?
That's what I'm getting. Famous university in Paris.
That's
what I'm getting from sitting here.
Chris is going blue.
Okay. And then I went to graduate school at Harvard.
Okay. Is Sorbonne really, that's a famous college?
Oh, it's so famous. It is the, because it goes back to the 14th century.
I didn't know that. You were laughing as though I was making a joke by saying, what's that?
Mm-hmm. You never heard of the Sorbonne?
You know what that is? I know what the Cinnabon is.
Danny was always proud of your education.
Yeah, because I feel like I was such an academic failure. I wanted people to realize that I was.
He's trying to sail on your.
I was trying to ride your academic.
And he still is.
And I just want. Well, I'm proud, Mike. I come from a line of academics.
I'd be proud too, because think about how many people from our town has even heard of those schools.
My mom couldn't get a job. Yeah, no kidding. My mom couldn't get a job in Oroville because they would have to pay her too much. She had too many masters to get jobs a couple times.
Can't you lie about your education? What's wrong with just not mentioning?
I can.
You're supposed to do. You're supposed to lie about it when you're overeducated. Yes.
Well, that's what I do, but I do it for a different reason. Yes, I've graduated high school.
Or just don't lie, but show up to the interview in overalls. Piece of straw in between your teeth.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was lost.
After Harvard.
Harvard.
Then I taught at Mundelein College in Chicago.
Now, I want to clear something up. You did teach while you were at Harvard. You taught some classes at
Harvard.
Yes,
I did. And I won awards as Outstanding Teaching Fellow as well.
Hello. Ooh, look at that. Do they still give that award out, Outstanding Teaching Fellow? It seems like you would only get that award in like the early 1900s.
No, into the 70s.
Okay.
They gave it.
So then after Harvard.
I taught at Mundelein College.
Is that famous? You have to tell us, there should be like a code word for famous.
No, it's not. It's next to Loyola and it's right on the lake in Chicago. So people know Loyola College.
Right. But. So then you went off to Europe at some point.
Yeah, and I was at the University of Zurich.
Okay, where's that?
In Zurich.
Okay, but where's that?
In Switzerland.
Right, right.
Where's that?
Europe.
And,
okay, so.
Then I taught at the University of, I don't think the next university was the University of Furen in in Taiwan that I taught at.
Right.
It's a good all taught there.
Yeah. I mean, we can skip over that. That's kind of like, if you taught college, you taught in Taiwan at the University of
State. What was your favorite university to teach at or to attend?
Mm-hmm. I think Chico State.
Really?
Really? Mm-hmm. It's because of the facility or because of the location and the time of your life?
Beautiful campus.
You're taking physics there?
Yes.
Right. Now, how old are you?
66, almost 67.
So, going on 67. I gave up doing that when I was 8, telling people what next the next number I was aiming for was.
But my birthday is so close.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
And I've got to keep reminding myself because I've got this short-term memory problem by now.
I forget how old I am, and I'm half your age.
I know. I really do. I very often now can't remember if I'm 27 or 28. In fact, right now I'm doing it. I think I'm 28.
I think you're 28.
Yeah.
I'm your mother.
I feel really stupid when somebody asks me how old I am. I go, I'm 20-something.
Well, when I have to take off my shoes and start counting, like...
Using it primarily.
How many men have you been married to?
Men?
I'm going to ask you. I'm going to tell you something, Mom. There was a point in my life where I suspected you were a lesbian.
Like, really?
Yes. I don't think I've ever told you this. Mm. It was when you were...
My jury's still out. No, I'm just kidding.
When?
When you were... First getting into, like, the weirder stuff that you're into now, like Joe Ray.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Joe Ray group?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Ray, by the way, I think it's called Joe Ray, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's where you put your hand by someone's face and you're supposed to transfer energy through the sun. Mm-hmm. It's like you're pretending your hand is a magnifying glass. It's the best that I can describe
it. Very well put.
And I'm telling you.
That seems sort of like a lesbian thing to you?
No, it didn't seem like a lesbian act. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the group of people she was hanging out. Okay. You cut your hair short. You were hanging out with these weird women that I didn't understand.
Plus that roller derby phase you went through. But this is a long time ago. You've long since not suspected that.
That's really interesting.
Oh yeah. But I wasn't it wasn't like I was like suspicious like like
he was just curious.
No, I wasn't curious. It was like I realized maybe this is a possibility. It wasn't like, is my mom trying to hide that she's
but you
a would have
loved your mother equally no matter what.
Forget that. That's not how God intended women to be. Well, it's okay with women, but not for me.
So I have to ask Sophia now, did you ever have questions about Danny's masculinity as a lad?
Only with the jokes that he made with you.
Yeah, my mom caught me in Chris.
My favorite, I think I know what you might be talking about.
Yeah, tell this story, Chris.
Okay. Whenever I started becoming friends with Danny, I noticed that Danny's favorite thing was just to torment his sister. And I felt bad for her. I didn't want to speak up because it was kind of funny. And she would always beg for massages.
Well, I had like the role of the back massager in the house. My mom and sister would just basically, you know how a dog kind of walks up to you? This is the best way to describe it. A dog will walk up to you and basically start rubbing itself against you until you start scratching its back or something like that. They would do that to me with a massage, kind of.
And she would get this really whiny tone of voice. And I remember one time she's like, Danny, and give me a massage, please. I want a massage, Danny. And so I decided to get in the fun, so I started mocking her. Come here, no, Danny, give me a massage. I want a massage. And Danny wasn't going to give her a massage, so to torment her, he pretends he's going to give me one, even though I don't want one. I want to make that clear. So Danny comes up behind me, like, with these exaggerated motions, like he's going to give me a massage.
Like, yeah, and it's very, very her. Overly exaggerated. And our facial expressions were both, like, very exaggerated of
and
these
I,
deep
yeah, Danny
massage.
Has, we have these, paint these looks on our face, like, we're both enjoying this massage so much. And I don't know how this happens. It seems like a sitcom. At some point, my eyes closed to get into character. And this seems really fruity, but believe me, it was just for jokes. Sarah leaves the room, and in her place, Sophia walks in, not knowing that we are mocking your sister, and just sees this incredibly intense male massage. I don't know if you remember this, Sophia, but you looked, you get this panic look on your face, and then immediately you do a 180 and back out without ever saying a word.
Oh, that's great.
I don't remember it at all.
Chris,
well, we
so
do, because we laughed about it for half an hour after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we couldn't get over that this happened. Like, oh my God, great. My mom thinks I'm gay. Now I'm going to have to start having sex with women around the house just to prove.
He started smoking cigars in the house and working on cars.
Yeah. So, how many men have you been married to?
Two.
Only two.
Mm-hmm.
But you were never married to my father, Craig.
No.
Craig Crud Savage.
That's correct.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
That I've never asked, and I would only ask in this situation.
How many men?
How many men? How many men have you been with?
Not that many.
Yeah, come on, you know your number.
No, I don't. I really don't.
Chris is just struggling over there. He's like,
I want to leave.
He's reeling. Like, oh God,
no.
Is it above five?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Who was the best?
probably your dad.
Was he really? Yeah. Yes, I knew it. All right, Dad.
Well, of course he's going to say that.
No, I wanted. I believe that he probably was.
Yeah.
I mean, what else had her with him? My dad is a hippie bike messenger, a scummy guy in San Francisco, and she's like
a very intelligent man.
I know he is. I'm just saying. I that sounds mean.
And he's one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah, I agree.
He was just hell to live with.
I agree. This is my description of my dad to people who haven't met him. If you being whoever you are listening to this podcast, random person, no affiliation with me or my father, if you were to meet him on the street, ask him to help you move, he would gladly and be happy to do it, and he would help you move. If you asked nicely, and he would be perfectly willing to help. And that's, I really believe that's true of almost anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think that he would do that.
Yes.
So was Crud Savage the greatest love?
Yeah, well, let's tell the story of how you met Dad.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
Because I kind of know it, but you tell it.
Yeah. I was coming back from travels in Asia.
Sure.
And I was supposed to be meeting Bert.
Now, let's say who Bert was. Bert was your second husband.
My second husband, love of my life from childhood.
Tell that
age
story.
Four.
Go back. Tell what happened. You loved this guy.
Yeah, I loved this guy. We were buddies at camp. I played the guitar. He played the banjo. When it was time to get the group together, he'd say, hey, you know, call everybody and get them together, and I'd do it. You know, he'd just sort of give the order, and I'd do it. And I adored the man. And then I went on with my life because he didn't show much interest in me and told me he wasn't going to get married till he was 40 or something like that.
I've used that one too.
Yeah. But he showed up in my life every place I was, and he was one of these friends who just always showed up when I was in Boston, when I was in Switzerland, so on and so forth. But eventually I left my first husband to be with Bert.
So you were married to
Rolf Arndt in Switzerland.
And Rolf was a
physical chemist or a chemical physicist or something. He was 10 years older than I was.
A chemical physicist?
He was a millionaire too, right?
No, he wasn't a millionaire.
He was a very, very wealthy man.
No, not very, very wealthy, but by the standards I've lived by since, yes.
Yes. He was taking care of you. He was your sugar daddy.
Well, maybe.
He was your, what would they call it in Switzerland? Like your chocolate daddy, your Swiss chocolate daddy? Was he black? I assume he was.
He was like the Swiss Monopoly man.
Yes. Yeah, no, there wasn't that much money, but my parents felt secure with him, though I felt
so
thoroughly bored.
You married him. He was an academic, and then Bert came to town. Bert came and visited, and you basically left with Bert. Is that right?
Well, no, I waited 6 months after to be sure to behave properly and not be
just
spontaneous and do what I wanted to do or anything horrible. That.
So then you leave Rolf for Bert, your childhood.
And I traveled with him for 7 years, and then he leaves me.
Bert leaves you. But to be fair, Bert had a good reason.
He was gay.
Right. He was gay.
Chris, what does that have to do with me?
So Bert leaves you, and he basically comes out of the closet.
Well, I don't know. No, only partially. I mean, all the relatives, he makes it look like it's my doing, you know.
what a horrible thing to do. That's the worst.
That was the only time
like you
turned
him gay.
No,
Like, yeah, after her, even a man seems better than this.
No, that's not. You look insulted. No, but it made me so mad that he made the relatives.
Because your his families, family. Your families were intertwined, basically.
He made the relatives think it was your fault?
Well, that I was leaving him, or that I, you know.
So he never told the relatives.
Exactly.
He never told them he was gay.
Is there any chance that he wasn't gay? And well, he died of AIDS. Story he told you?
He died of AIDS. Okay. So if he did this, this was very...
He's committed.
He's very committed.
Very Kaufman-esque. Yeah.
But anyway, this is a ways back in the story.
Sure.
And I'm coming back from Asia. He's come home earlier saying that we couldn't afford to both stay and that I had people that I wanted to meet in Japan. And so he came, he sacrificed himself, came back to his lover in San Francisco.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he didn't sacrifice himself. Well, in a way, he sacrificed himself.
So when you were living in San Francisco, were you in touch with him?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When you came back, you were already divorced at this time.
No, no. I was to meet him that night, on Halloween night.
Okay, and, but you were still...
And I never found him. He
hang on, I may have never really understood the story. So you were still married to Bert at this time.
Yes,
we came
back from the trip. He came back 6 months earlier.
But you didn't know he was coming back to be with another man.
No.
Did he know that?
I assume
so. Or multiple men. We don't know how many. How many men would you say, Chris?
What year was this?
Yeah, what year?
This is pre-AIDS, right?
Well, he died of AIDS.
But
they didn't know about AIDS, though.
Yeah. May have known it. I think actually he...
The party was still going, Chris.
That's what I want to know.
The party was still going.
I think possibly he knew the whole time for you know, a year about having been exposed.
Cante que no te llena. La diferencia... Blood in my veins just is black and whispering as the rain the streets of Philadelphia.
It went something like this. Cruising down the street in my...
And he was wearing his yoga freak outfit with his beanie cap with the whirligig on top.
Okay. Yoga freak outfit?
Yeah, it was like pajamas.
That's what he was being for Halloween, was a yoga freak.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
did you know that you liked him that first night when you met him?
I knew that I was relieved that he came up to me at the moment he did, because it was just getting late enough that I was getting uncomfortable wandering around in my damsel in distress outfit alone.
On Halloween. You were dressed as a damsel in distress on Halloween night. And you were
saved.
And you were
saved by
you were saved by your knight in a shining yoga freak outfit.
Yes. Exactly. And so, you know, he walked with me and as you know, he's one of those people you're comfortable being with. You know, he's sweet, he's nice.
Well, what year was this?
Yeah, this had to be like 79, 80?
Danny was born.
Okay.
So how did you stay in touch with him?
Well, there's more to the story. Okay, you have going. To hear the whole thing.
I want
to
hear it.
Okay. At one point in the evening, a fight started to break out on the street. And when I saw there was a fight, I started moving back away from it. Mm-hmm. But still where I could still see what was going on and watched him go to the center. And it's just the perfect metaphor for how we always are, our differences. Because I was protecting myself, right, but wanting to see everything. And he went right in, tried to break it up, you know, getting... And all of a sudden he goes, oh, I've got something in my eye. Help. And water. Does anybody have water? And somebody hands him a bottle of champagne and says, I don't have any water, but use this champagne. He said, champagne, that's too good for eyewash. Glug, 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 glug.
I believe he told us that that was alcohol abuse.
And
that's great.
And then he offered me a ride home that night.
Well, now to be fair, he didn't. When he said a ride home, he must have meant piggyback.
No, he had a car or a borrowed car. It had
he
no
stole
hood.
The car that
no,
night.
He had no hood.
He had no hood.
And he had no idea where he'd parked it, so we spent an extra hour or two just scanning the streets nearby.
Wow. He's like, just look for the car with no hood.
So his memory was still intact.
And then I didn't see him for months. And then one day I was in the panhandle. And I saw someone walking along. And there was kind of a lope to his walk. You know how he walks.
Yeah.
And I went, Craig, is that you? And he recognized me and immediately had me do the camel with him.
That's a great deal.
So, do you know that you like my dad at that point? Do you know you like Craig at that point? Do you know, like, you're attracted to him, or do you just think
this is some crazy guy? This is some, you wouldn't believe who I met kind of person. Yeah.
Did you feel that since you met up with him again, miles away, that there was some sort of divine this meeting was destined to be?
No, but he might have.
Yeah, he would have believed that,
which is nice if you've just been dropped, I suppose.
But to be again, you were dropped for just unmentionable sex with many, many different men. You could see the temptation in this for Bert. Like, if that's what he wants.
Let me ask you this, a little off topic. I just watched the Harvey Milk movie. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, he was the mayor, right?
Yeah, he was San Francisco.
He wasn't the mayor. No, he was some city council member or something.
Yeah, were you?
I was just going to ask if you remember any of that whole movement happening near you, or if you, I don't know, if you felt that there was something happening at that time.
Well, I knew that there was a gay movement, but I wasn't very interested.
Did you lose touch with Bert during this time?
No, stayed friends.
That's good.
Yeah.
I remember Bert from being a child, and he came to visit us in Oroville once, and I cut my foot on glass, and I remember this guy in really short shorts, cut-off shorts, picking me up and putting me on his shoulders and going, woo, the ambulance is here! And then he took me to go get frozen yogurt at the health food store by the State Theater in Oroville.
Then what happened?
That's when things got interesting. No, but what's weird, though, is that I bet Bert, did his actions change? Like, did he seem more gay after he sort of came out to you? I mean, know what I mean?
No.
Was he always a semi-effeminate male?
I think you would say so. I didn't think about it
because
before.
Maybe my memory is being affected by the fact that I know he's gay now, and I'm remembering him in a more gay light. But I honestly remember, like, the super short shorts.
He had the female vanity.
That is more what seemed to come across. It was something about the way this guy was dressed and
yeah. And though he was old, his blonde hair was combed so it covered where the hairline recedes and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But. A really nice person, but able to take care of himself in the ways, like, you know, making the relatives think it's my doing, not his.
Sure.
And stuff like
that. Wow, I never knew any of that. What about your parents? Did your parents and his parents get along?
They were friends, and from Cub Scout days on.
Sure.
And when my mother found out that I was leaving my secure husband to go with Bert, she was so angry.
Wow.
And I don't think she said it, but at some point she said that, you know, the mother, I learned that the mothers in the group somehow suspected Bert of being gay. And I knew, you know, didn't believe them. I mean, I had good reason not to.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
But they were right. So listen to your mother. She's always right, even when she tells you what you least want to hear.
And they have really good gaydar, too. Here's a question I wanted to ask. Did you know, like, the night that you got pregnant, did you have a feeling, like, when you got pregnant with me?
No.
Okay. Because Dad's told me this story so many awkward times about how many, like, that magical night, and, like, I took your mother by the hand.
I remember when I knew it was when we'd driven up to his sister's, and she made me a Mexican coffee or something
tequila.
Like that. Yeah, with ice cream in it and stuff, and I threw up.
Oh,
that
really?
That was about the only morning sickness I had. It was at night, but that was my first clue.
Where was your favorite place that you've ever lived? Favorite town?
Did I have to live there or just travel
through? Just travel through your favorite town.
Oh, I don't know. There's so many beautiful places on Earth. I'd like to take hours to answer.
Was it Vancouver?
Was it Oroville, California?
No, I thought I'd hate Oroville, but it's been good to me.
Was it Florence, Italy?
I want to go there. I haven't been there.
Well, you've never been? Oh, it's gorgeous, especially this time of year.
I mean, now, it's not Zurich. I mean, there's so many places in Switzerland that are lovely little villages, but I didn't live in the lovely...
If you were going to be an expatriate...
Schaffhausen, maybe.
Schaffhausen. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think you answered the question.
Where would you live? I have Swiss citizenship, I could do it rather nicely.
It's just so
damned expensive.
Yeah, because she was married in Switzerland.
Does that ever run out?
No, they tried to take it away when
she keeps it in a Swiss account. Hey-o!
When I divorced Rolf, but all my friends, Swiss friends, stood up for me and said, no, you know, this wasn't a marriage with the Swiss guy to just get citizenship.
They tried to take it away, but their case had holes in it. Swiss cheese.
Jeez, I got it.
Oh, man.
Yes.
So technically speaking, you could open up a Swiss bank account.
Yeah.
Yes. I think might have one.
Oh, that's interesting.
60 cents in it, like my American one.
Talking to the microphone, sorry. I know you want to look Chris in the eyes, but he won't think you're rude if you don't.
Okay.
It's just because it doesn't pick it up well.
It's not as much fun.
I just think you're not confident.
I know. Okay, Chris, the speed round. You're on the hot seat, Mom. Speed round. Quick questions. All right. Quick, Chris, ask a question.
It'd be nice if you have a plan before you
I do. I wanted you to ask a couple questions, if you had any questions, too, about things about me when I was a kid, or things that she might not have known about me, or, I don't know, things like that.
Oh, no.
Or, and I also was going to ask questions, but we could just go back and forth, sort of tag team.
Hmm. Well, you go first. I'm thinking.
Mom, I'm going to tell you a story that's been told on the podcast. You've made a few sexual advances towards Chris without ever noticing it. You've said these weird words that are, you would never know that they are sexual tag words to our generation, but they are. And you have this look in your
eye. Lucky Chris.
You have this look in your eye when you're telling a joke. And I have it too, where you're proud of your joke. And I have the same look, but you... And there are a few occasions where we've laughed really hard because you've said something
inappropriate,
but not like, I'll tell you one that we've told recently on the podcast where you told Chris that you wanted to have you knew you should see Chris just struggling, just putting his head down right now. You told Chris that, oh, now that's so great. I know you're in town. Now I know who to call when I need to have someone strong come over and tap something for me. That is a direct quote of have sex with me.
That's a threat.
Tap something?
Yes, that I swear to God, that is an expression. Tapping something means there's an expression that's in our generation.
I believe that there's an expression.
It means tap that ass. Tap that ass is an expression. But you were telling him to have something, him to nail something. We had put up like a
nail something is not.
You don't want to say nail something either. That's
Yes, okay. It's unfortunate. I can't believe that I said tap, but I think
you. Oh, I'm telling you, I promise you, you said it word for word, and Kyle Horn was over that night too, and Chris just didn't know what was going on. Chris thought that this was, because it's such an exact expression, because he hung. Okay, mm-hmm. We had just finished tapping a nail into the hanger that went over your door, but you couldn't reach it.
What door?
Over in your bedroom, the hanger in your bedroom that goes over the door.
Yes,
and
I remember that.
And you wanted me to nail it in, and you said, "Oh, it's very easy. I just wasn't tall enough to tap the nail in, or something like mm-hmm. that." And then that's when you told Chris that. So, but there have been a couple other times where but you've never known about them. But
no,
all of our group of friends knows about them. So yes. I'm gonna put you in on the joke now.
Okay.
It's sad when these expressions don't cross generations.
Yeah, like people say things that they have no idea how.
It's really sad when an old man, not to say that you're old or anything, but.
Did you have to get old?
And I'm telling a different story. Right. When a really old person has an unfortunate name, like this guy who came into one of my hospitals, his name was Harry Gooch. That might not mean anything to you.
Yeah.
But anyone in Danny's in my generation, it's very funny.
Should we explain to her what that means?
I think I can figure it out.
No, but you don't. I don't think you do. The gooch is the flap of skin that's in between the testicles and the anus on a male. That is an expression now for it's called a gooch.
I see.
And this guy's name is Harry Gooch.
Yes, I
you understand
that.
Why that's funny.
Yes.
Because Harry can
but
be.
But see, in 1911, they didn't know that.
Well, it wasn't. It's not they didn't know it. It hadn't come about yet.
Yeah.
All right. Chris, do you have any other questions?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
Any other stories? Didn't you have stuff that you were going to tell her about me? Like,
I have a question. At one point, you were engaged to marry a prince. Is that true?
No.
Wondered about highly educated people. Do you ever feel like you've reached the limits of knowledge that your brain can hold, and that any new piece of information is going to bump something else out? Like if you learn Arabic, you might forget Swiss.
No, I don't. I think it's probably true, but I don't think that ever. It's so much fun to learn.
I
don't care if I remember it.
Did you think that I was going to grow up to be like a horrible person at any point?
I like you a lot more than I thought I would.
Well, I can say that Danny was a horrible person when I met him.
I can say that too. I try to describe it the best way that I can is that I never did the thing where you put yourself in someone else's shoes.
Can I say something? Because I've just been reading these, 100 freshman compositions from the health fair.
Uh-huh.
And there were 5 or 6 on autism, and they talked in their papers about the fact that autistic children don't respond to other people's emotions and things. Maybe you're a brilliant autistic.
Definitely not. Definitely not autistic. Yeah, definitely not. No,
I thought he might be retarded.
That's not retarded. They tend to be brilliant.
Thing. I know. I'm just saying.
No way. Because at the end of high school had like a cathartic experiences where I really realized what a horrible person I was and how badly I affected people's lives. But I'm telling you, I never even thought what it was like. You know, like if
I thought I've mentioned it to you, Danny.
I'm sure everyone did. I know they did, but like I couldn't get it through my brain. Like, why don't you slap someone in the face? Because you wouldn't want to get slapped in the face. You know what I mean? Like, you, how would you feel if someone did that to you? That never, like, I couldn't, that didn't register with me. I swear it didn't. It really didn't.
Mm-hmm. And judging also, from your behavior,
and
I
also,
that.
I wouldn't have been that big a deal if someone slapped me in the face. I never didn't take anything that
this
happened.
Was the thing, is that you weren't like everybody else, so that didn't work for you. I think that's much more true.
I had other questions. I cannot remember them.
I have a question. Who's your favorite friend of Danny's?
Ah, oh, Chris.
Of course. Clements.
Yeah, really. Who's your favorite friend? Be honest. And I know it's not Chris.
I think it is probably by now.
You used to hate Chris with a passion.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you told me that once.
Yeah, we did it on the last podcast.
I always thought you liked me until one day I used to hate you so much. And you said it with this bright smile.
Let's tell one story of Chris, can you tell one story of getting kicked out of our house?
I don't know what the fight was about, but you and Danny were going at it, and it wasn't uncommon.
Like, so I mean, when she doesn't, people don't might not understand. We were screaming at each other.
Yeah.
Like, people would call the cops if they didn't warn our neighbors.
Yeah.
So, and Chris is just stuck in the living room in the most awkward situation ever. So then my mom comes downstairs. And
I don't remember how it started. But at some point, you got irritated with me. You thought I was taking Danny's side or something. And I really wasn't. I just wanted to be left alone. And you told me, if you're not going to help me or take my side or something.
If
you're not going to stand up for me, then you could get out of the house. And then I don't think it was the first time. So I walked out, calmly went down the steps. And then you didn't like that I was sitting at the last step, I think. So I moved down to the curb. And then you didn't like that I was at the curb. And I was like, well, this is just the street. I'm basically in the street. And you're like, well, this is still my house.
My curb.
Then you should go across the street.
And then you got, I believe you guys got into an argument about semantics over who owned the curb.
I'm on the curb. This is the car's part.
Chris has been involved in the most awkward situations with our highly emotionally, what is the word I'm looking for? Emotionally retarded family or emotionally charged. Like, well, everyone in our family can go from 0 to 60 emotionally in no time. And you're at the top of that
My
list.
Family fought a lot too. And lots of my friends' families fought too. It was just funny that I didn't get ever kicked out of the street at city property before.
I remember she told you had to go stand in the middle of Highway 70. That was where she wanted you. Center lane, I think she said. All right, well, we're making you feel awkward, Mom. Don't feel bad. You look like you feel sad about this. Or like you feel like you're being made fun of. You're not being made fun of. I promise. You were provoked. You were pushed beyond the limit.
Oh, believe me, you were. Used to start going over there, I felt so bad for you and Sarah. And I don't know why. I remember a couple times I said, Sarah, why are you making him a sandwich? Why don't you just tell him no? And she looked
look.
At me like I was crazy, and she goes, well, what am I going to do? What other choice do I have? Said something like that. Like, I was crazy for even coming up with that idea. Like, why don't I just not make him the sandwich? And I'm like, well, what's he going to do?
I think she was like a Latin American dictator.
Danny was a tyranny.
I feel sorry for Sarah.
I do too, Mom. I do. I feel horrible. I do. I
wish you'd stood up for me.
I should have.
You could have made Danny behave.
He wouldn't have made me behave.
No. I was
just out of control. I was an idiot.
I'm sure you should have been stood up for. I feel bad. I'm sorry. I should have stayed in your house.
You really look sad. You do look. I don't want you to feel like you're the butt of the joke or that.
No, Danny's the butt of the joke.
Yeah,
we're
I'm
laughing
the idiot.
Because
I am, Mom. Don't you look so worried. You're not the butt of this joke. I am. I promise.
Well, it doesn't matter whether I'm the butter joke or not.
Not butter joke. Maybe that was an expression when you were a kid. Thank you for coming on, Mom, really. It was nice of you. And putting up with us. And Chris, thank you for sitting through all the awkward moments, not just during this podcast, but through our entire lives together. You've managed to go from my mom's least favorite friend to someone that she pretends to like while she's on a podcast.